Okay, so we were in the middle of an extremely technical situation. I don't know, there will be some up and down, right? There will be technical and abstract and beautiful and computational all interlaced. So now we're in very technical. I'll tell you in a minute that this technical, I mean, so it's technical, but it actually represents pictures, but we'll get to the what it represents a bit later. But anyway, we needed to figure out how to compose two Gaussians in this category GTO. We actually know the answer because we had some intuitive games, and we also had a verification. And to me, the verification is stronger than anything. But I also wanted to develop a technique to do it completely rigorously. Also because this technique will be useful later for other things. Okay? So let me remind you. So the way we contracted two morphisms was we first multiplied them as generating functions, just multiplied them as functions, or you know, more precisely as power series, and then applied some infinite order differential operator, namely e to the derivative with respect to z, derivative with respect to psi. So we may as well develop techniques for applying the exponential of a quadratic differential operator to an arbitrary, or not arbitrary, to at least some type of expressions e. Okay? So I've switched from the case that, so in the case that I care about, this is of a specific form, namely Fij was really this matrix which was, what do you call it, block, this block matrix in which the two off-diagonal blocks are the identity. And E was was the exponential of a quadratic, but in fact it was the exponential of a quadratic in more variables than the variables that we are contracting. So from the perspective of the variables Zi, E is the exponential of, well, a full quadratic. So a quadratic plus a linear term plus a constant term. So constant term, the constant terms are not interesting. So really we want to understand how to, what to do if E is, or mostly we want to understand what to do if E is a quadratic or a linear, or a sum of the two. Okay. Anyway, we called this the contraction of F and E. And to compute it, so this is the closed contraction. It's the contraction where you evaluate at Zi equals zero. And to compute it, we looked at the open contraction, so the contraction in which you don't evaluate at Z equals zero. So the some z variables remain. And also replaced f by lambda times f. And the aim was to write a differential equation for this. So basically for that. And it's actually very easy. You just, the derivative with respect to lambda becomes a second order operator applied to that same thing. And then finally, we said we actually care about situations in which calligraphic E is the exponential of something simpler, so which we call just uppercase E. So uppercase E is just the logarithm of calligraphic E. And finally, we're not interested really in this, we're interested in log of that, because we want to stick with everything is the exponential of something simpler. So I want to compute log of uppercase psi, which is lowercase psi, and I call this that. Curly bracket lambda f colon e. And then we had a claim, which I proved, so this is fully rigorous, I'm still reviewing, okay? So there is some equation which I will later call the synthesis equation. Am I pronouncing synthesis right? Synthesis, okay. The synthesis equation, and you'll see in a minute, you'll see later why. Anyway, the equation is that psi, this log of the contraction, satisfies psi at lambda equals to zero is E, and the derivative with respect to lambda of psi is some nonlinear operator applied to psi, but this nonlinear operator is 1/2 sum over ij fij times, well, kind of the Laplacian applied to psi, and then this nonlinear contribution, dzi psi, dzj psi. Okay, and again, even though everything looks like it's analysis, it's actually pure algebra. Everything is over Q. I don't know what the real numbers are. And by the way, I mean it in a rather strong sense. I mean, I'm allergic to the real number myself as a mathematician. Anyway, and then the last thing we did was we made the claim that if you contract a Gaussian, you get a certain specific answer, and we've started proving it by verifying this, the equation. But it occurred to me that it was a mistake, and before going back to this verification, we should have done the linear thing. So, right, the thing we care about the most is the case where E is a linear plus a quadratic. So we should also care about, so first we should have done the linear thing, it's a bit easier. So here is my claim. So if you contract according to F something linear in the Zi's, so anything linear can be written as some Yi Zi, then the result is equal to 1/2 Fij Yij, so it's quadratic in the y's, in the coefficients of the z's, plus whatever you had before, some Yizi. Okay? First of all, where is it coming from? You see, I have to, I'm going to back and go back and forth between proofs and intuition. So, picture for that. So, what are we doing here? Or how am I going to view it? So, we, you know what, let's have F act from, be the parameter, the thing on the left, and this be on the right. So on the left, I have dzi dzj with coefficients 1/2 fij, and it's exponentiated. So it's not just, I don't just have one such thing, one such operator, I have like a reservoir of such operators, where if I have k of them, I take it with coefficients 1 over k factorial. And I'm trying to act, so this differential operator is trying to act on linear. How will I draw linear? So linear has a side that can be differentiated. So it's this zi, but this zi comes with a coefficient yi. And again, I don't just have one such line, I have a reservoir of such lines. And a reservoir always means the same thing. You have k of a sum over all possibilities of having k of them, where k, where if you have k of them, you divide by k factorial. So anyway, what do you get? So these things differentiate these things. What do you get? So each dzi must differentiate one of these zi's, and then. Well, if you differentiate with respect to dzi, you'll get it with coefficient yi. And if you differentiate with respect to dzj, you'll get it with coefficient dzj. Okay? So you simply get things like this. So you simply get things like this. 1/2 fij. And each derivative kills the corresponding z and leaves us with the corresponding y, so you'll get this. Okay? Now, all differentiations must differentiate. But I'm not substituting z to zero. So some z's remain. So basically, I'll also have zi yi terms like this remaining. And again, everything that I draw really represents an exponential. So, you know, you differentiate with respect to dzi that replace this dzi with a yi, but you still have an exponential reservoir. You do it to the second one, it replaces the dzj with a yj, and you still have an exponential reservoir. So this gives you a single term like this, but then the next one will give you another, and the next one will give you another. And after that, you're still left with an exponential reservoir, and the exponential reservoir is this. So anyway, but that's exactly what's written here. Right? So, I mean, here, here I didn't take the logarithm. So really, I'm thinking this is infinitely many, and this is, not infinitely, but a reservoir. But if you were to take the logarithm, so the logarithm of a product of two reservoirs is the sum of the essence of the reservoir. And that's exactly what's written here. Okay? So that's the picture that I have in mind. And now let's verify it. So, okay. Well, I wrote it without lambda. I care about the case at lambda equals 1. But to verify it, I have to reinsert lambda. Reinsert lambda just means that you multiply f by lambda. So every place, so really the claim is, so an equivalent claim is the claim written here. And now let's and now all I have to do is to differentiate the right-hand side with respect to lambda and see if it really satisfies this synthesis equation. So let's check. So the derivative with respect to lambda of psi is equal to, well, this term drops, and you only have that. So lambda, sorry, 1/2 fij yi yj. But then you also have to differentiate with respect to the zi and the zj. So dzi psi is, okay, so if I differentiate this with respect to psi, I get nothing. Sorry, with respect to z, I get nothing. And if I differentiate this with respect to zi, I get yi. So this is yi. So the second derivative, dzi dzj, which is the first term that appears here, is zero. So we're in a particularly case, easy case. And so the equation we need to verify is whether this is equal to 1/2 the sum over I and j, f I j, and then again, this term drops, so I only have dz I psi, dz j psi, but dz I psi is y I and dz j psi is y j, so y I, y j, and these are visibly equal, and QED. Okay, so that's an easy demo. Okay? Now the harder demo. So now I want to show this. So, by the way, I mean, even this is the harder, it will become harder later. So this is still a relatively easy demo. So, so let's call this psi 1 and that psi 2. And really, our psi is psi 1 plus psi 2. And I need to verify the synthesis equation for psi. So I just need to differentiate everything. So what is the derivative with respect to lambda of psi 1? Oh, I think this one we did last time. So I just need to copy it from my notes. It's 1/2 the trace of fg, 1 minus lambda fg inverse, and that's it. Then we need to compute d lambda of psi 2. I forgot here the inverse. So, and now the problem is that we need to differentiate an inverse matrix. And that's where we were stuck last time. So let's do it right now. So, aside, you know, you wouldn't know it, but in order to do knot theory, you need to know how to differentiate matrices and inverses of matrices and determinants and all sorts of funny things. Okay, good. So, first of all, let me suppose you have a matrix and you add to it a little perturbation. And then you invert, and you want to write the result I should just go and teach my 257 class. So I'm trying to compute the differential. Okay, so we have a map from n by n matrices into, I don't know, I'm just throwing in some abstractness, which really isn't necessary, which is really silly, okay? But anyway, we have a map, let's call it inversion. What's a good symbol for inversion? S, because it's like the antipode. So we have a map S from n by n matrices to n by n matrices, and it's the map which maps a matrix A to A inverse. What I'm trying to do, I mean, this is a manifold, okay? Or this is a Euclidean space, this is a Euclidean space. So I'm trying to compute the differential of S. How is the differential of S defined? It's defined, or maybe let's call it S prime. How is S prime defined? S prime is that linear transformation for which S of A plus epsilon B is equal to S of A plus S prime times plus epsilon S prime applied to B, S prime at the point A applied to B, plus lower order terms. Right, that's the definition of the differential. So I'm trying to find this linear transformation that which is the coefficient of the which determines the term proportional to epsilon in this expansion. So I'm trying to write this expansion. Maybe I'm overdoing it now. Anyway, so this is let's write it as A times 1 plus A, sorry, epsilon A inverse B inverse, right? If you multiply in A, you get that. Now, the inverse of a product is the product of the inverses. So this is in reverse order, 1 minus epsilon A inverse B inverse times A. And now inverting near the identity is, you just get a negative sign. So I mean, 1 minus X inverse is 1 plus X.
A inverse, right?
A inverse, right. So this is 1 plus epsilon A inverse. Sorry, this is plus, not minus. So 1 plus X inverse is 1 minus X. So this is 1 minus epsilon A inverse B plus terms proportional to epsilon squared, but I don't care about I don't care about them, times A inverse. And now I can open parentheses and I get A inverse minus epsilon A inverse B A inverse plus terms that I don't care about. And then the conclusion is that the map S prime applied to the matrix B is the map that multiplies B on both sides by A inverse. Okay? But anyway, sorry, I don't know why I got into this. It's just, okay. But anyway, what it means is that if you have a matrix, A sub lambda, so a matrix A depending on a parameter lambda, and I want to differentiate this with respect to lambda. Sorry, I want to differentiate the inverse of that with respect to lambda. I write it as, so in general, so now this is just an ordinary derivative, right? So the way to compute this is to say, well, is to replace lambda by lambda plus epsilon and look for the term proportional to epsilon in the result. So this will be the term proportional to epsilon in A lambda plus epsilon inverse. But this is the coefficient of epsilon in, sorry, I'll just short this for the coefficient of epsilon. So this is the coefficient of epsilon in A lambda plus epsilon d to d lambda of A lambda inverse, right? I mean, I replace A lambda plus epsilon by its own Taylor expansion, or by the beginning of its own Taylor expansion. And this by what I computed before, is the coefficient of epsilon in, I don't even need to say, this is exactly that, where A gets replaced, where A lambda plays the role of A, and this plays the role of B. So the coefficient of epsilon is this. So it's A lambda inverse times B. So the derivative with respect to lambda of A lambda times A inverse with a minus sign. So we figured out how to differentiate matrix inversion, right? If you have a matrix that depends on a parameter, you invert it, you differentiate with respect to the parameter, you get this. So now, well, by the way, this is a generalization of the fact that the derivative of 1 over x is minus 1 over x squared. Okay, so really, you know, it is, but I will not show it. Okay, so anyway, now I want to differentiate this with respect to lambda, and I get negative 1/2, so the plus 1/2 from there and the minus from there. So negative 1/2 z transpose g, and now the differentiation that I've just done. So 1 minus lambda fg inverse times the internal derivative, so the derivative of this with respect to lambda, so it's minus fg, so fg, and the minus again became a plus, and then again the inverse, so identity minus lambda fg inverse, and then z. Okay? Anyway, I hope I didn't get a sign wrong, because when I did it at home, okay, whatever. Yeah, no, this is correct. And let me rewrite it slightly. So, G commutes with this inverse. If you don't believe me, well, here's the easy way to say it, to see it, and then the hard way. So really, this is the sum of a geometric series, which is 1 plus fg, or lambda fg, plus lambda squared fg, fg, and so on. Right? So here we have g times that, so it becomes the sum of all ways of writing, well, it's the sum of all chains of the form g, and then gfg, and then gfgfg, so all chains of f's and g's that alternate between them and that start and end at g. Okay? But that's exactly the same as what you would get if you would write the g on the right. If you put the g on the right, you'd also get chains that begins with... Oops, sorry, Sorry. Oh, what have I done? Sorry. If I move the g to the right... No, I wanted to move... Did I blunder? Oh no.
sorry, g commutes with this.
No, that can't possibly be true. Oh, yes, sorry, I wanted to say something else. Sorry, I did blunder, sorry. I wanted to say something else. I should have kept the word assault. Sorry, so still aside. I want to say that G multiplied by I minus FG inverse is equal to, sorry, with a lambda, is equal to I minus lambda GF inverse times G. Sorry, this is correct now. And the reason is that, again, this expands to sum of chains of the form GF, 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 G that begin and end in G. And this expands to the same. Okay? But if you want to prove it like more pedantic mathematicians, you would take both sides and multiply. So take both sides and multiply by the identity minus lambda FG without it. And then on the left, you will get G. And on the right, you will get I minus lambda GF inverse G, I minus lambda FG. And then, let's just expand it. So you get identity minus lambda GF inverse G minus lambda identity minus lambda GF inverse F, GFG. Now, GF certainly commutes with this, right? Because this is a function of the matrix GF. It commutes with GF. So you can move GF to the other side, and you'll get identity minus lambda GF applied to identity minus lambda GF inverse G. I've moved only the GF, not the G. So the G stays. But now these two cancel, and you have G. So we checked. Sorry, it's ugly, but that's what it is. So this can be rewritten as 1/2 times. Let me just write it and then explain. So G 1 minus lambda GF Z transpose F G identity minus lambda FG inverse Z. Yeah. Okay, sorry. So basically, if you take the transpose of what's written here, transpose reverses the order. So you'll get Z transpose, G transpose, lambda. Wait, I didn't even need this commutativity. No, I do need this commutativity. Sorry, I wrote it wrong. I wanted to write it as, the same as here. So G times 1 minus lambda FG, yeah, inverse. Sorry. So take the transpose, you'll get Z transpose times No, so I wrote it this way, but you can reverse the order and then take the transpose and you'll get that. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Next, next I have to differentiate with respect to the z variables. So dzi of psi 1, so psi 1 has no z's in it, so it's just 0. So likewise the second derivative, so dzi dzj of psi 1 is equal to 0. And dzi of psi 2 is equal to, so now I want to differentiate this with respect to z. Z appears here twice. So let's first differentiate it with respect to the second z. So the result will be z. No. I want the first z or the second z. Which one will be easier? No, sorry. Let's differentiate with respect to the first z. So, so this will be the. So I'm looking for the thing that multiplies zi. The thing that multiplies zi is the g identity minus lambda fg inverse. So take this matrix, the entry ij in it times zj. And you have to sum over j. This gives you, sorry, and you have to divide by 2. I forgot to copy the one half. But you see, this is a quadratic form. It's symmetric in this z and in that z. So you just get twice this thing. Okay? Sorry, it's hell. I don't know why I'm doing this. But anyway, the conclusion is that dzi dzj psi 2 is equal to, so now I differentiate this with respect to zj, and I simply get g identity minus lambda fg inverse the entry, the ij entry of this matrix. Okay. So I don't want to copy all of these formulas too many times. So the left-hand side of our equation in red is this plus that. The right-hand side of our equation comes from basically, the Laplacian applied to psi 1, which gives 0, and that same Laplacian applies to psi 2, which gives 0. But multiplied by Fij. And so you get, well, this multiplied by Fij, but that's exactly like multiplying by F and taking the trace. Matrix multiplying by F and taking the trace, and that cancels this. This is exactly that. And then the remaining term is this, right? So basically, well, so this cancels the Laplacian coming from psi 2. And then, so this must be the nonlinear term coming from, well, from psi 1 you'll get nothing. So it must be the nonlinear term coming from psi 2. So this must be 1 half sum over I and j. And then I need to write dz I psi, dz j psi. Where is dz I psi? Sorry, Fij times dz I psi is g identity minus lambda Fg inverse. So I'm looking for dzi, so this must, so I must do here, put here I and then k and zk. Times the same thing with j. So g identity minus lambda fg inverse j l z l. Okay? Yeah, this is hell, but this is the matrix. This is matrix multiplication written in a funny way. So this is so this is that. This F is this F, and what remains here is that. Oy, this was hell. I'm sorry. I want to interpret all of this. I shouldn't have gotten into it. But I want to interpret it. So let's give it an interpretation similar to the interpretation. No. I want to understand the synthesis equation in general, first of all. Let me try to understand this name and well, let's see how far we go. So again, I want to understand it as 1 half Fij dzi dzj, but now it's acting not going to fit. Sorry, let me just quit. I got drawn into a computation that I should have avoided, but let me quit and get back to it. I have to think whether to get back to it immediately or later when we need it again. But anyway, for now, let's just quit. Sorry.